Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Just as I was getting ready for bed last night, I had someone send me a quick note. Said, Steve, check it out. Story from Michigan hits close to home for you. And I thought, wow, what an interesting story. I'll do that one tomorrow morning. And then this morning I got up and boom, 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 boom. My emails lighten up. Other people were sending it to me also. Steve, Benji, Kevin, Jerry, Chad, Julius, and William all sent me the story of the three Oakland County attorneys who are facing racketeering charges in Genesee debt collections. So we have to understand that Oakland County is a county that's not far from Detroit. And then on the other side of Oakland County is Genesee County, which is where Flint is. So think of it this way. There's Wayne County, Detroit, Oakland County, and then Genesee County. So these counties are all near each other. Mike Martindale wrote the story for the Detroit News, the paper I did not deliver as a child. Three Oakland County attorneys were charged recently with running a scheme in Genesee County to collect debts from people who may not have owed them and lying to court officials about their efforts to contact the alleged defaulters. So these are three attorneys, and they're being charged with this in Genesee County. But the facts that the prosecutor is pointing out is that there may be other people in other counties who will be interested in this. The attorneys are based out of Bloomfield Township, and it's apparently a father, son, and then an attorney who works with them are the three. And the eldest of the two, the father, was charged with maintaining a criminal enterprise and obstruction of justice, and his son and the other attorney were each charged with conducting a criminal enterprise. 30 counts of forgery and one count of obstruction of justice. And now here's the thing. Conducting a criminal enterprise, sometimes known as racketeering, is a felony punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Forgery could be 14 years in prison, and obstruction of justice, 5 years behind bars. In case you're curious, the father is 70 years old, so some of these time frames could be scary. The Genesee County prosecutor's name is David Layton, and the sheriff is Chris Swanson. They announced the charges at a news conference in Flint. And the victims in these cases, the alleged victims, all live in Genesee County. But officials said the investigation indicates there are hundreds and hundreds of others victimized in that county, which is Genesee, plus Oakland, Calhoun, Kalamazoo, and Ingham counties. And damages could total more than $1 million. Okay. So the two Genesee County officials said the case could have national reach, noting that this law firm that's accused of this also has offices and conducts business in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Aspen, Colorado. These people, this firm, took advantage of the most vulnerable people in the state who weren't familiar with the legal process or may have believed they needed to pay on debts they never owed, said the prosecutor, David Layton. And he said that as an attorney, because he's an attorney, it pains him to say this about others in his chosen profession. And I've mentioned before that I'm an attorney. And when attorneys do bad things, they've got to get called out for it. And you're going to hear that they abuse the trust that the system puts in attorneys. So the prosecutor said there has been no evidence or allegations that anyone in the court system was involved. And Swanson, the sheriff, said investigators believe the three co-defendants were the driving force, at least in the Genesee County cases. Prosecutors said officials in Kalamazoo County have pursued at least one case there, and that he had spoken with Oakland County prosecutor Karen McDonald, and a spokesman for her office said Tuesday she'd contacted relevant law enforcement agencies to investigate possible cases in that county. So here's what the allegations are. Okay, here's what they're accused of doing. In at least 30 cases dating back to 2019, the firm allegedly forged and filed paperwork in courts stating the firm had properly served debtors. However, investigators determined in all of these cases, process servers had been unable to locate people who allegedly owed debts, and this is according to authorities, and under the law at that stage, the law firm was supposed to file additional paperwork with the courts to get substitute service, and that's what they say they didn't do. So, if I want to sue you, okay, I got to draft a complaint, file it with the court, and then I get a summons from the court, and I serve you with the summons and complaint. The complaint says what I think you owe me, and the summons says, hey, this thing's official. You got to do some stuff. And so a summons and complaint must be served on a defendant to get a lawsuit rolling in court, get the actual action going. And so traditionally, you can serve somebody by having a process server walk out and hand it to them. Boom, you're served. Now, if the process server can't find you, there's a problem. But the courts have ways that people can be alternately served. So let's suppose I know where you live. You have an address. You live there. You keep very, very odd hours and you don't answer your door. But we know you live there. Let's just assume these facts are true. Okay? Don't argue the hypothetical. It's a hypothetical. You live there. I come and knock on the door. You're on the other side of the door. You just simply won't answer. If I go to court and say, Your Honor, process server's been out this guy's house 6 times. We know he still lives there. His landlord said he's there. Next door neighbor said, yeah, he's there all the time. We see him coming and going. In fact, that's his car right there. He must be here. He's the only person who drives that car. So we believe he's inside. He's dodging service. A court is probably going to say at that point, okay, we give you permission to do an alternate service. What that means is you're going to mail him a copy, first class mail. You might mail him a copy, certified mail, and then you can tape a copy of the summons and complaint to his door. You can affix it to his door. And that way we know that he'll probably get it. And then you do that and you wait. Now, some people will get that and discard it and go, they can't prove I got it. Well, you can come into court later and fight it and say you didn't get it. So these attorneys are accused of having cases where they filed the complaint, got the summons, couldn't serve somebody, and just said they did. And unfortunately, this is a common thing. It's a common thing. I've seen articles about this in other states. I've seen stories on this in Michigan. I know of an attorney a few years back who got dinged for this because, and I've told the story before. He was a debt collector and he had piles and piles of cases. And he was defaulting so many people that one judge actually said, wait a second, he's coming into court every day for another 30 or 40 default judgments, claiming he served all these people and none of them ever answered. So he pulled out all the proofs of service and he noticed they were all dated at the exact same date and time. Like the guy was so lazy, he's filling in the same date and time on every single one of them. You can't be serving 30 people simultaneously who live in different parts of the county at the exact same moment. Doesn't make any sense. So that guy got in trouble, and I believe he got suspended for a while. But here, the prosecutor is approaching this like a criminal matter, which is good because you almost never hear about this. You'd almost always hear this turning into a disciplinary matter for the bar, where the bar is going to slap the people on the hand and say, don't do that again, and you know, suspend you for a little while, pay some costs. No, they're going after them for criminal charges. So Layton said they never followed due diligence. They took a shortcut and lied to the court. Those who were alleged to have owed money had funds attached from wages and other income. So what the firm is accused of doing is getting a summons and complaint, not serving it, saying they served it, then getting a default judgment, and then turning the default judgment into some kind of writ of execution and going out and attaching and garnishing wages and so on. And so that is a big problem. The eldest attorney received a bond of $40,000, 10% at his arraignment, while his son and the other one, other attorney, $160,000 and 10%. It is unclear whether any of the three made bond by the next day. None could be reached for comment. The law firm has been in business since 1976. They're headquartered in Bloomfield Township. Calls from Detroit News to business were not returned on Tuesday. The sheriff points out that there are several groups of victims here, not just the people who were not served, who should have been. But first of all, they're the obvious ones. But he says that among them was a large number of people who were in adult foster care homes, hospitals, and so on. And so he says many of these people had their wages, friend of the court checks, IRS distributions, and more taken under this scheme. Second of all, the court, of course, has a mess on its hands now, because they got to go through all the files that these guys touched and say, you know, was this properly served or not? You know, we don't know. I get asked a lot, what does it mean to be an officer of the court? And there's a big misunderstanding about that. And people, I've heard too many times in the comments, people say, well, Steve, you're an officer of the court. Your sworn duty is to the court. You don't really represent clients. You swore an oath to the court and blah, blah, blah. No. I never swore an oath to the court. I swore an oath to the Constitution. And in my oath, I swear that I will take my clients' interests above all others. And so I represent my clients in court. The court is an institution that I do, work within. And being an officer of the court merely means I'm held to a higher standard than the average person who appears before the court. And it's actually not a privilege, it's an obligation to be an officer of the court. And so what that means in that sense is that, let's suppose that you and I go into court, I represent you, we're standing in front of the judge, and the judge goes, okay, Mr. Leto, tell me something, and I tell him something. And then the judge looks at you and goes, Mr. Leto, I'm going to ask your client a question, is that okay? And let's assume that it is okay for the purpose of my hypothetical. And if it's important, the judge can go, hey, raise your right hand, we're going to swear you to tell the truth, make you take an oath, and then you're going to give sworn testimony. Judge didn't ask me to do that. Now, why is that? Can I lie? No, it turns out I don't need to be sworn. Anything I say to the court is as if I've been sworn. I'm held to a higher standard. I'm held to a higher standard. So being an officer of the court means I'm held to a higher standard. So there are other things that attorneys are allowed to do that non-attorneys aren't. So just to give you another simple example, if they've got metal detectors at the front door and a long wait, there are some courthouses where if you have a bar card, which attorneys do, they'll actually say, oh, you're an attorney, and they'll wave you through. There are situations where they'll hand a file to me and say, take this to the clerk, and and your client, and you can go up there and get this taken care of. Whereas if you don't have an attorney, they're not going to hand the file to somebody and go, here, just take this to the clerk, because somebody's going to walk out the front door and go, heck, just throw this away. But they know that if they hand me the file, I'll get it to the clerk, because I have to. It's part of my obligation as an attorney. So one of the things that happens is that a process server who serves a lot of summons and complaints will sign these documents and have the signatures notarized or whatever the requirements are in that particular court. And don't get me wrong, a process server can get in trouble for not serving people who he or she says they've served. But if I sign a document saying I've served it and I didn't serve it, I get in a lot of trouble for that. And I'll get in more trouble, I believe, than the process server would. And I believe that's correct also, because as an attorney, I should be held to a higher standard. So if it's shown that these people did this, that is, filed documents with the court saying these people have been served when they knew they hadn't been, that's a problem. And then if they followed up on that and said, okay, these people were served, didn't answer, we now want a default, we now want a judgment, we now want a writ of execution, we're now going to start garnishing things, that's a problem also. And so, interesting thing about this case is that they've actually gone after it on such a large scale. I've seen these cases before, mentioned this before, that it was literally just a disciplinary action. They simply brought the attorney in and said, you broke some rules, you're going to get suspended for a little while and pay some fines, and so on. But as the prosecutor and the sheriff point out, these allegations, if true, are crimes. If they're crimes, it doesn't matter who committed them. You prosecute them like crimes and go where that takes you. So we're again talking about maintaining a criminal enterprise, obstruction of justice, and 30 counts of forgery and a count of obstruction of justice. Again, so those carry terms of things like 20 years in prison, 14 years in prison, and 5 years behind bars as well. So very, very serious allegations being raised against three Oakland County attorneys. And I've done videos before about debt collection. A couple of friends of mine do debt collection work. And debt collection work is, I'm talking about the people who need defense against debt collectors. And invariably, when I do one of those videos, someone will respond and say, if you just pay your debts, you won't have this problem. So, and it's the same people who say if you don't speed, you'll never get pulled over. I don't know what planet you live on, but I suppose you can believe that if you want to. There are people out there who don't owe the money. So if you don't owe the money, your name got on the list somehow wrongly, or somebody didn't keep track of the money you paid them, and they turn you over to a debt collection attorney, and the attorney sues you but doesn't notify you of it, and then starts taking your wages, okay, you hire the attorneys who defend against that. And this kind of stuff does happen. So not every debt collection attempt happens this way, but enough of them do to where it keeps some attorneys very, very busy going after bad debt collectors. The story is from Detroit News. Mike Martindale wrote it. Sent to me by Steve, not me, Benji, Kevin, Jerry, Chad, Julius, and William. Three Oakland County attorneys face racketeering charges in Genesee County debt collections. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I've learned two very important lessons in my life. I don't remember the first one, and the second one is to write everything down.